Blog Talk Radio.
From the deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, the SRI Label Group, Wildlife Educational Services, and Blog Talk Radio present Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover with us the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we discover his wild world.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and as always, from Indianapolis, Indiana, the honorable, distinguished, he kind of leans to the left, but he's always right, Dr. Henry Day. Good afternoon, Doctor.
Good afternoon, Mr. Batson.
We're very excited today.
Yes, we are. We have an old friend on the show.
We do, and I'm going to give everybody a clue. Hold on. Hit the right button. Oh, man. Rhythm Ensemble and all of rock. Willie Wilcox is with us this week on Wild World. We're so excited from Nevada, Las Vegas. So Willie's going to be joining
guys.
Us.
Hey. It's pretty hot here.
How hot is it?
I don't know. It's 114 or something. This is a cool day.
Oh, my God.
What do? You just stay inside in the air conditioning all day, Willie?
Yes, I am. I am in the air conditioning right now.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to talk about the Utopia Tour in a little bit and the stuff going on. Willie has a pretty Nordic. He has the coolest jobs, not only playing Utopia, but also his job in Las Vegas. So we're going to talk about that, and it's going to be fantastic. What's going on your end, Dr. Day?
Well, we're just waiting for the rain to arrive here.
Well, we'll make Willie mad because... Yeah, the temperatures here are about 75 degrees, and we're getting this overcast. We're getting ready to have wet stuff, so.
Show off.
Yeah, I know. It's absolutely true.
Yeah, we've been in the 90s for the last month, so we're glad to have a little cool off here.
Well, to tell you the truth, our two bears couldn't stay in the water trough long enough during that hot spell. So that was pretty cool. Pretty cool.
I know that.
Anything on your end, Dr. Day?
Yep.
Are you ready for the Wild World news?
I guess I have to be.
You have no choice.
It's time for Dr. Henry Day's Wild World News. And now, from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, here is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Well, good afternoon. It's July 29th, 2018, and... we're getting ready to do the Wild World News. Now, we're going to start off the news tonight in Juneau, Alaska, where the locals are playing a game called Name That Smell. Yeah, it is a sea creature that fishermen believe to be a giant squid turned out to be a decaying carcass of a humpback whale.
Ooh.
Yeah, man. They were trying to decide what it was, but they wanted it to be a giant squid, but it turned out to be a humpback. You know those giant squids, they have the largest eyes of any creature on Earth.
Yes, they do. I'd heard that. And it rarely filmed or photographed.
Yeah.
And they're giant. Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah. Now, you have a few large tortoises roaming around your place, don't you?
I do.
Well, when this story's over, I want you to tell people why... you shouldn't have very large tortoises. Nampa, Idaho, a 75-pound tortoise named Twister who went missing from a reptile rescue facility has been returned. The Reptile Adventures employees suspect someone removed Twister from the yard Monday but brought him back 2 days later.
Hmm.
Now, why do you think they didn't keep the turtle?
I know you're heading that direction. They ate all their flowers.
Yeah. That, rearranged the furniture.
Yeah.
Sure, after a couple of days, they decided that wasn't the best idea.
No, and, you know, they're not nice. We had that one that would chase our wolf. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
They're not nice at all.
Yeah, they all have different personalities.
Yeah.
You know, if you weigh 100 pounds and you're chasing a wolf. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Did he ever catch the wolf?
No. It wasn't like the tortoise and the hare at all.
Right.
The wolf is, the wolf was a little smarter. Yeah, right.
All right, well, here's some good news. I like to hear this. Kilgore, Idaho. A 530-pound grizzly bear that killed a calf there has been captured and relocated to a remote area. Thank you for relocating him and not taking another measure.
And I have another story for you, Dr. Day. There was a gentleman who applied. Now, you know, I think it was Wyoming opened the season on grizzly bears, and they were having people register or apply for hunting permits. And there weren't going to be very many. And this one individual, he applied and he got it. And you know what he's going to hunt with? A camera. Yeah. God bless him.
Yeah. Now, see, that's a great idea. I like that.
Yeah. And the permit's not cheap. I think the permit was like $600. You know.
Well, we're
going to
talk a little bit about
ego. Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit about that here in just a minute.
Now,
New York. Police responding to a 911 call from an abandoned building found a 4-foot alligator.
Oh,
now, they have no idea why the alligator called, but, he was rescued.
If it would have been here, we would have ended up with it.
That's right.
Yeah.
How many alligators are you up to now?
Oh, I don't know. There's a whole herd of them out there.
Sure I've heard of alligators.
And what's funny is when I go back there, here they all come running. And they're smart enough that they recognize me knowing that I'm the one that feeds them. Now, if Cheryl, my wife, goes back there, they don't, you know, they just stay put. But if they see me, here they come.
A food source in two ways.
That's right.
All right, we got a new baby at Hattiesburg, Mississippi. The Hattiesburg Zoo has welcomed a baby sloth named Maple.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to work with a sloth.
Well, let me tell you my sloth story. I was living in Panama Canal Zone. I was in Balboa Heights. I'm driving down the road. And I see this large sloth crossing the street. You know how slow they move. Well, my first thought was get him out of the street so he doesn't get hit. So I go over and I decide that the best place to grab him would be right at his rump, right above his behind. Well, anyway, I grab him and I'm just going to kind of swing him out of the street. Well, he starts clawing at me. And, you know, they've got 3-4-inch claws. And it catches the front of my rips a big hole in the front of my shirt. He's got a hold of my shirt, pulling my shirt out while I'm holding the back of him. He's about 40 pounds. You can only do that for so long. So anyway, I got kind of swinging with him. I finally get him over and get him kind of close to a tree, turn him loose. He was up that tree in the matter of a few seconds, like a squirrel. Yeah, we both
climb
each other so much. Yeah.
Yeah, they climb
fast.
That's the fastest
sloth there ever was. All right, we're up to Billings, Montana. Swift foxes, which were considered extinct in Montana in 1969, are being spotted around Billings. That's some special news there.
Well, I have a swift fox story for you. We were in Florida at an animal dealer's place, and he had a swift fox for sale. And that particular Swift Fox had been on tour with ZZ Top when they brought all the livestock out on stage during the concert. And I still regret to this day not getting it, because it was real handable. It was a really nice animal. But yeah, it had been on tour with ZZ Top. They had rattlesnakes and all sorts of stuff and longhorn steer on stage with them. I forget which tour that was, but it was pretty cool.
Sounds like
why
the love
rain. Why did they have them on stage with them? What were they? It's just ambience?
Yeah, the theme of it, it was a Western theme for the whole concert. I can't remember what tour it was. But you would think, Willie, with all that noise and everything, that the fox would go nuts.
You know, all the animals.
Absolutely. But it was really calm, and I thought, man, if it went through that tour and did that well, taking it in front of school children would not have been a problem. That's why I still regret not getting it.
So as well as having touring buses and equipment trucks, they also had to have animal bins that they were touring with and feeders and people to take care of their animals on that tour?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Well, I here's one for you. I had a friend who provided camels to the Bengals when they did the song Walk Like an Egyptian.
Wow.
And while they were doing their song, he'd walk the camel right across in front of the stage.
I remember that camel. That was Carol, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Thank God Utopia never had to do that. Oh, my gosh. They I'll tell you the truth, though. The animal rights people wouldn't let them do anything like that now.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. It would be too controversial at this point.
Yes, it would be. And, you know, I was just thinking, Kenny, I wonder what Dave Davies would think about that.
Let me see if we got him. Dave, are you listening, Dave? Dave, are you listening?
Yeah, I'm Dr. Dave. Larry, Martin, Willie, nice to hear you. What was the question?
I was kind of wondering if the Kinks ever toured with any animals, Dave.
Oh, you didn't need animals. When me and Ray were on stage, we were always throwing punches, so we didn't need any animals.
That's kind of what I figured. Oh, sorry, Willie.
Thank
sorry
you, Dave.
To burden me with those animal jokes.
All right, now, here's something to be proud of. We're off to Chicago. Now, do you know what the word Chicago actually means?
I don't know. Does Willie know?
I don't.
Land of onions. It's a Native American word meaning land or field of onions. Okay, well, I'm going to take you to Chicago right now. A new study has named Chicago the rat capital of America, with a total of almost 51,000 rat complaints in 2017, compared with 32,000 in 2014, which is an increase of 55%. Now, Chicago has beaten New York by 31,000 complaints.
That's unbelievable.
Well, we now have a rat capital of America.
Well, that's nice. I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, it is wildlife. All right, the next two stories are fish stories. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Well, fishing in Fort Cobb Lake, 11-year-old Kennedy Smith caught a native South American fish with human-like teeth. Yeah, the pacu, a relative of the piranha, is considered an invasive species by the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife. Now, the fish was destroyed. I'm not sure how they did it. I hope they ate it so it didn't go to waste. But, yeah. Finding
pretty
pacus
big.
In Oklahoma.
Yeah, they're pretty good size. They're bigger than the piranha. Well, they may not be bigger than black piranhas, but they're pretty good size.
Which are tasty in themselves.
I'll bet they are.
All right, let's finish up this Wild World news. All right, we're heading off to Arkansas. Now, I just threw this one in just because Michael Nelson reeled in the best catch I've had this year, he said, while recently fishing. Now, what did he catch? Well, he caught a prosthetic leg.
Oh!
Yeah. He posted it on Facebook and learned that the leg belonged to a woman who was involved in a boating accident in April. The good news is the leg will be returned to the woman. All right, it's time to play Who's Gotten Older?
Oh, good.
You ready, Willie?
Sure.
I have an idea Willie's going to be really good with these. He sounds excited, too.
Yes, he does.
All right. Mick Jagger turned how old Thursday, the 26th? How old is Mick?
I think I read he was 75. I think.
Willie's got a shot, Willie?
75.
He says 75, too.
All right. Well, you both are correct. Mick turned 75 on Thursday. Looking good. Mick's still out there doing it, too.
Yep.
Well,
he is.
Let's
go with drummer Jim McCarty of the Yardbirds.
Oh, I'd say he's probably 77. What does Willie think?
I would have no idea. It must be somewhere in the mid-70s, right? So I'll go with 76.
Well, we're going to have to give this one to Willie. He turned 75 just like Mick.
God,
all right.
See
then
that.
Singer Maureen McGovern?
Sort of. Kind of. Torn Between Two Lovers, is that her song?
Maureen McGovern, yes. I believe that. Yeah, I believe that was one of her. And Black Velvet, I think.
Oh, no, Lana Miles is Black Velvet. That I do know. I'll say Maureen is 72.
Yeah, 71, I was going to say.
Okay, well, she turned 69. Looks like Willie's got you 2-1 so far. Well, you got, no, it's 3-2. Guitarist Blair Thornton of Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Oh, God, 101.
Oh. Yeah, he'll appreciate that.
Yeah. They were old when they were out. Willie's ciphering it.
No, 70 years old. 70.
What did Dr. Day?
Well, Blair turned 68 on Monday this past week.
Oh, my. See, I was really off.
He's a younger
year.
Guitarist
I got
Steve
Morris. I got neckties in my closet that are older than that.
Stop that, too.
Guitarist Steve Morse of Deep Purple.
That's hard because he's not an original guitar player.
Right.
Got to be younger, right?
Yeah, I think so. I'll say 60.
Willie?
Oh, 68.
Ooh, 64. That's 64. All right, one
more. Did you ever play Deep Purple, Willie?
No, never did.
All right, two quick ones. Singer, bassist, Geddy Lee of Rush.
That's another hard one. I'll say 68.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, man.
Well, Getty turned 65 today. All right, one more. Guitar Slash of Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses.
God, that's another hard one.
58.
59. See, saying 68, I'll say 59. God, I'm probably so.
Well, he's a young one. He turned 53 this past week.
Yeah, he's just a puppy. Oh.
Yeah.
After, all right, let's do the fact of the day so we can get Willie on. Birds of Prey Wildlife Area in Idaho is the home to the most dense population of nesting eagles, hawks, and falcons, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. You're parrots and birds.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to tell you, the African gray is in the studio with me today, so you're allowed to hear just about anything.
Good. That's wonderful. Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, always HD. And they have this beautiful knotty pine paneling, which has such great acoustic. Wonderful job, Dr. Day. We'd like to thank the SRI Label Group. They're our underwriter for Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. The SRI Label Group is for people that love all music, rock, jazz, blues, country. It is all there. Artists in their classic recordings. Best of ELO, Little Richard Live, Chambers Brothers, Hall & Oates. Catalog of thousands of recordings available for download. Or, hey, you can just listen to them. The whole darn song. Explore an amazing music collection at the best musical site, the SRI Label Group. Check it out today, srirecords.com.
Thank you.
Willie Wilcox is one of rock's premier drummers in the backbeat of Todd Rundgren's Utopia. Very successful reunion tour with former band members, that this band is still great. Our guest this week here on Blog Talk Radio, Willie Wilcox. I can't cut off great music, Willie.
Hey. So what was that show from that we were listening to?
That was from the Japan Redux.
Oh, in Japan. Redux. Oh, that was the Redux tour. Okay.
Yeah. And phenomenal. And I've heard such great things. Did you have fun going on tour? I think you did.
Yeah, I had a great time. It was a whirlwind tour. It, you know, we started in Woodstock with our rehearsals, and then you're kind of off to the races in Pennsylvania, Jim Thorpe, and then ended up at the Jimmy Kimmel Show on June 6th. So it was kind of a blur in between a lot of cities, a lot of music, and it went by pretty quick. It was fun, though. We had a good time.
Well, I was so impressed because the first couple songs you played, I think Todd said after one of the things I saw on YouTube, so we're going to play a couple songs with less notes in them. My goodness.
Well, yeah, we started the set was kind of broken up between, you know, the historical time period of the first Utopia music, and then, you know, went through most, the first set was kind of prog rock laden. So the first, like, four songs were all songs that you really had to concentrate to play, and also were very notey. And so by the time we finished the fourth song, we would be at the next song up on the set was Do-Ya, which was just kind of like, you know, the dumb three-chord rock and roll song. And that was our breather and our moment to kind of, you know, let all that other stuff go by, because it was just a lot of odd time signatures, a lot of notes, a lot of singing.
How long were rehearsals to get ready for that?
Well, we rehearsed in Woodstock for a couple of weeks, and then, of course, individually, we all had to do our own, you know, personal preparations, and I had a good couple months of kind of woodshedding on my own privately, you know, practicing with practice pads, getting my hands back up to, you know, up to speed, and then listening to material. And I put a bunch of stuff in Pro Tools and cut it up and rehearsed pieces of it to try to, my goal for this tour was not only to play the music that I used to play, but try to kind of reinvent and play the stuff in a kind of, you know, more emotional and complete way than I did in the past. So, I spent a couple of months, you know, kind of getting my head in a space ready to play, but there's never like actually doing it. You know, you can study on how to go scuba diving and what tanks are and what you're going to need and the masks and everything. But until you get, you know, 30 feet under the water, you're not really there. So after all that preparation and all the, touring rehearsals, it still took the band a good 2 to 3 weeks of actually being in front of people and getting the stamina and, you know, comfort level of what everybody's playing for that stuff to kind of start to gel.
Do you have a kit set up all the time? Did you continue to play between?
Yeah, I have a kit set up at our studios and at Scientific Games in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So I always have a kit set up, and this time around, Ludwig was my drum sponsor, and they were kind enough to give me a couple of kits. So I used, you know, my beautiful Legacy kit live, but they also sent me another kit that I was able to rehearse with at the studio. So I had a kit there, and I always have a kit there at the studio. Kasim Sultan had done his solo record 3, and I had played on one of the tracks for that record, you know, last year. So there's always a kit set up, and there's always pieces of things that I'm doing while we're, you know, making music for games.
And how cool is that? You have the drum company send you a kit. Just send him a drum kit. I mean.
There's a National Association of Musical Manufacturers every year in Anaheim called the NAMM Show. And that's where all these manufacturers get together, and they show all their software and hardware, and all the musicians from around the world come, and they do clinics and, you know, present, you know, new products and stuff. And so I had gone out to the show, and I met with the people at Ludwig there, and they were very interested in supporting me for the Utopia Tour. And so I was happy about that, and then, you know, put something together specifically for the tour.
Who,
of course, Ludwig drums were the first kit that I had ever started with years ago. So the little backstory on Ludwig and me was that I had worked at a drum company, store in upstate New York in Glens Falls, where I grew up. And I must have been 15 years old at the time. And my job there was to shine the drums, repair the drums, give drum lessons. And it was just a little drum shop, but it was the most well-appropriated drum shop between New York City and Montreal. And this guy had about, you know, 30 kits there that were all stacked up. And so, again, my job was to, you know, change the heads and get these things ready. And one Christmas Eve, it must have been probably 1966 maybe, there was a pink champagne kit that was going out on Christmas Eve. And the guy told me that I got to get it ready and shined up, and because it was going out the next day for a kit for Christmas. And so I got it all ready and got pledge on all the heads and shined all the chrome and everything and looked beautiful and was ready to go. And then I left that night. And then the next morning when I got up Christmas morning, that very kit was in front of my tree. So I was ending up actually shining and polishing up the kit that my parents ended up getting for me, you know. So it was,
That's a great story. It was back in the time
when, you know, Ringo was popular. So Ludwig was the big drum company at that time. So when we decided to do the Utopia reunion tour, I thought, well, since I'm really going back to my old band and my roots, then why not go all the way back and reach all the way back and start with the first kit that I really ever did start with? So I decided to go back with Ludwig. And so that's kind of the backstory of why I chose Ludwig and how Ludwig ever came into my life to begin with.
Plus, they sound pretty darn good, too.
Yeah, there was a nice sounding kit. It's made, the legacy kit is made, you know, with the original mahogany shells that Ludwig made it back in the 60s with the same kind of laminates and glued rings and everything. So the sounds of those new drums are the same as really the vintage drums that they made, you know, back in the 60s. That's the whole point of it.
Well, and I'd read somewhere that Ringo had a particular snare that the thickness of the snare was, he had a specific size that he always requested. I guess it was hard to even buy.
Geez, I'm sure what that would have been, but it wouldn't have been uncommon for, and it's not uncommon for drummers to have, you know, certain kinds of drums, whether they're brass or wood, and whether they're 5.5 shells or 6.5 shells, and certain kinds of rims. They have, you know, curved rims and straight rims, and they all have a little bit different sound, and each drummer has drums that are, you know, kind of particular to what that drummer likes. So it wouldn't have been surprising. With Utopia, through all the years of Utopia in the past, I had a 1926 brass straight rimmed Ludwig drum that I bought from Charlie Donnelly's Drum Center in Newington, Connecticut years ago that he had refurbished, and it was one of the best sounding snare drums that I ever had, and I still do have it. I didn't use it on this tour, but I still have it. So it's not uncommon for drummers to, you know, like guitar players to find, you know, unique drums that have a particular sound that become something that's, you know, personable for that drummer.
So how many times did fans ask you about the Trapperatus?
Yeah, probably a number of times. The big question was I going to take that out on this Utopia reunion tour? And the answer in all the press that I had done was that I would have loved to do something again that would have been kind of an innovative drum kit in the electronic realm. But since we had such a short preparation period for this tour, which was only a few months, I didn't have the time to organize something. There's things that the guys are doing now. The DJs are using MIDI triggering. I used MIDI triggering and years ago for all the sampled sounds that I had used with the D drum company, which actually became Nord, which is the Nord lead and all the Nord keyboards. They had D drum and it was owned by and kind of came to fruition by a guy named Hans Nordelius, who was from Sweden. And so I had used the D drums years ago and done my own samples, and that was innovative back in that time period. Now people are triggering MIDI, and they're triggering I'm using MIDI to trigger electronic drums to play different lighting effects and graphics and videos and things like that. And I would have loved to and wanted to do something like that, but there wasn't the time for me to come up with something for this tour. I also wanted to incorporate that with the graphics and lights and things that were happening in the live production of this tour. But, the folks that were doing that were not quite comfortable with that process at this time. And we just didn't have enough time to, kind of develop something for the tour that would do that. But maybe someday in the future. But my head was already there, but the time period wasn't available to make something that would do that. So I went with the next best thing, which would be going back to the traditional roots of Ludwig, and that's what I played for this tour.
What were the feelings? I know when you played all these shows, and the Todd Rundgren Utopia fans are just so, they're so, I don't know what word to use, they're just brutal. I mean, they just love this band so much. I mean, to sit there and play those songs and look out at the audience, I'm sure you saw people with tears in their eyes that just couldn't believe this was happening.
Well, that was me.
That was
you. That was
God
me.
Love you.
No, I thought that for me what was great is that, first of all, the last time that particular Utopia band had toured was really, as we talked about at the top of the show, was in 92 in Redux, right? And so the social media aspects weren't available at that time. So for me, I had an Instagram account, I still do, called Willie on the Road to Utopia. And with Facebook and Instagram, you're able to communicate with the fans and share with the fans, your preparations and what's going on and what you see and what you do. And so there was that ability for me this time to more intimately, share my feelings and emotions of what I was experiencing during the tour, and then also get to see, the fans hearing the music that many of them grew up with, or, and just like all of us, music affects our lives. So we all have experiences with music, whether they're first loves or marriages or breakups or fights or, highs and lows, and we connect all our life experiences with music. And when we hear that music, it's, it brings back such strong memories. And so I could see, all those experiences that people had with our music, and it's so rewarding and nice to be able to kind of provide that sonic backdrop for people's lives.
Well, I have to tell you myself, the Beatles and Utopia were my favorite bands as growing up, and of course the Utopia was in the later years, but my gosh, and I'm so excited when the DVD comes out. That's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, we do have that new DVD coming out, and it's in its final mix preparations right now, and then I'm not sure exactly the date that it gets released, but I would imagine it's sometime in September. We also did, I don't know if people know, but we took a photographer on the road with us, Richard Karras, and he documented the entire tour. And there's a company in Europe that's going to make leather-bound books, special edition books, photographic books of this tour, that will become available to everybody in a month or so. And it's going to be band signed editions, special editions.
Well, that'll be fantastic. Well, we're going to take a short break because I think Dr. Day has to go to the little boys' room. And
thank you.
It's that time of day.
It is, and you know, as you get older, you make more visits. I want to remind everyone, Larry Batson's Wild World is brought to you by Blog Talk Radio and the SRI Label Group. The SRI Label Group, srirecords.com. Lots of great music, country, jazz, blues, rock, it's all there. Shelley Leibowitz is our underwriter. We appreciate it. We also want to remind everyone, check out our Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends. Lots of great stuff about animals, all fun. No animals die on our Facebook page. That does not happen. And also our website where you can contribute to our animal family, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. From the SRI Records, here's Ray Brown.
Knocked me off my feet. Have mercy on me, 'cause she knocked me off my feet.
label groove, Shelley Leibowitz, srirecords.com. Little Ray Brown on a Sunday afternoon. What about that, Willie?
Nice.
Man, I love it. Yeah, he's in Moscow right now touring. He's going
really?
To be on the show soon, so we're excited about that.
I used to play that song a lot.
You did?
Up. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and different jazz gigs and stuff. It's a classic song.
It's a great song. My gosh, it's a great song. That's kind of off the wall. In your opinion, and if you don't want to answer this, it's fine. Who's the most talented person you've ever worked with? I'm not necessarily saying a musician, but the most talented person.
Oh, man. I have to think about that.
I never really
categorize people as the most of something. You know, I mean, I work with a lot of talented artists. So they're, you know, and they're all talented in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't anybody that was the most talented. I've just been fortunate enough to work with a lot of great people who had. A lot
sure.
of, you know, different strong talent skills.
Did you meet Todd through Hall & Oates? Is that how that all come about?
Yeah, that was the first meeting because he had produced the War Babies record that I had done with Daryl and John.
Well, Chasm was on the show a couple years ago, and he thought that probably the most talented group of musicians, of course, next to Utopia, was the Hall & Oates people.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Daryl was extremely, you know, a gifted writer and singer, of course, you know. He and Todd both came out of the Philly soul thing, the white Philly soul thing. So they were kind of uniquely similar in many ways. Todd has, like, really great vocal arranging skills, and they're both similarly good writers, you know, songwriters and singers, and they came out of the same thing. You know, I work with Luther Vandross, and Luther was great, and it's just a lot of different artists, you know, have different, like, kind of talent skills.
Sure. Well, I've always felt very honored because we had Leon Huff on the show three years ago, and gosh, what a great guy he is.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know him, but he made a lot of great music.
Oh, they did. Absolutely, they did. Well, Willie's also, for our listeners, Senior Audio Director for Bally's Technologies, and you've done some very interesting projects. Anything that you can talk about now?
Yeah, so the update on that is that Bally Technologies, you know, was purchased actually about 3 years ago and merged into a new company called Scientific Games, so now it's the largest gaming company in the world, which includes mobile devices, online gambling, the lottery, so all the lottery tickets and everything are through Scientific Games. They have systems groups, so they're the largest gaming company in the world. And it was a very large merger that took place, so it's a very, very big company.
So that means a good, bigger company, great job security, huh?
It could mean that.
Well, we hope it does.
Yeah, I mean, we're positioned well in the marketplace. So, you know, and it's a very innovative space at this time period. You know, moving forward, people who gamble traditionally. That's kind of, you know, that whole process is starting to change where, you know, the younger generations are becoming the newer generations of gambling because they have disposable income, and all the people that are coming up now grew up with Xbox and PlayStation, and so they're a much more sophisticated audience that's used to higher level of graphics, higher level of music, and a more immersive entertainment experience. So the new clientele for that, you know, is more demanding and more sophisticated, and because of that gameplay and the traditional, you know, pull the lever on the slot machine and have it go ding ding ding, days are gone. It's becoming a much more competitive and immersive process, and the entertainment industry and the gambling industry are going to start colliding and merging, where people want to not only be able to get out there and see if they can, you know, test their luck and do well, but also be entertained at the same time. So the demands and the production process has just become more and more sophisticated for making these games. You know, in the case of the Michael Jackson game that we did, I ended up getting all the original tracks from Sony to remix all those games in surround sound, you know, so that the players could have not only the original experience, but a, you know, an experience that they never had. And that's kind of the whole idea. Scientific Games now has the James Bond license, so we're doing, you know, mixes and presentations of all of that brand. And, you know, there's a lot of new things that are going to be unveiled and unrolled in the coming years.
What was it like to listen to those Michael Jackson recordings?
Well, that was fantastic. You realize the beauty and the expertise of Quincy Jones and the songwriting of Michael Jackson and the vocal performances and his attention to detail and all the emotion that he puts into his into everything, you know. And it's you know, Michael's music is so thorough. From he sings so rhythmically and his melodies, and he's so soulful and emotional. So when you hear his vocal tracks soloed, you know, it's there's just so much, you know, passion and energy and emotion and everything that he does, that it's just so committed.
Well, it had to be. And then you did a project I think I saw on Facebook with ZZ Top.
Yeah, I had been a staff writer for years with Bill Ham's company, and Bill was the producer of most of those big ZZ Top records back in the day. And so I had contacted Bill and said, "Hey, would you guys be interested in making a slot machine?" And he said, "Sure." So we put that together, and then we went over to Houston and met with Billy Gibbons and Dusty and the guys, and had them do voiceovers for the game in their studio.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Billy was working on a Depeche Mode track at the same time that I went over to record the voiceovers for the slot machine. So I sat around while he was putting on guitar solos for Depeche Mode. And then the drummer had brought in his new collection of specialty guns, golden guns that they had made. I think he has one of the largest gun collections in the United States. And so they were all interesting guys and super, you know, supportive and helpful and enthusiastic about immortalizing themselves in a gambling device. I actually met with Hall and Oates as well, and Daryl and John had come over and listened to the game, the Michael Jackson stuff, and they're also very interested in making a game. So I think that there's a long line of historical musical lineage that might be able to be, realized in the future here for, bringing, musical talent and musical entertainment to this kind of medium, which fits perfectly with me because it, you know, gives me the ability to marry everything that I know about music production and live recording and musical artists, and marry those experiences with the, you know, the gaming industry and make it a new immersive experience for, you know, future players.
Well, it's a whole new market for music, and I won't ask, but do you play? Yes, I will ask. Do you go out to Vegas? People live there probably don't gamble, do they?
Yeah, they do. A lot of people here gamble. My wife Elizabeth and I go out probably, you know, I'd say at least once a month and try out new games and stuff. Just, you know, I do it because, you know, I want to see what the competition is doing, and my wife does it because she likes playing. And we go out and see, you know, and it's entertaining. And
sure.
And here's an interesting, you know, point of fact is that the players and the experience that happens in Las Vegas is not the same experience that happens all over the country. So you're also making games for all different kinds. Just like for people listening to music, you're listening, you have different demographics. So the players that come into Vegas are people that mostly don't live here. So they want to come in and be entertained. Whereas maybe in a very small town, you know, somewhere else in the United States, the same kind of players don't exist, and they might want to play more traditional games versus, super video entertainment games. So you have different player demographics around the country, and the companies have to make games that, are catered toward those different demographics. So there's a wide variety of games that gets made. It's not just high-end, immersive video games that are just entertainment experience. There's traditional gambling games. There's, you know, for sale games. There's lease games. There's all kinds of something that was interesting that I just saw was that in Phoenix, the local government there in the city got together and they made because of what's his name? I'm blanking out now. Okay, you got to help me here. The guy that paints his face and does, I played in, so Meatloaf, when we did the Meatloaf movie, who was the guy that was in the Meatloaf movie?
Jim Curry.
No, I did a Meatloaf movie and we had Alice Cooper. So Alice Cooper.
Oh, there we go, okay.
Alice Cooper did his own scratch off lottery tickets.
Oh.
And they just released these Alice Cooper branded lottery tickets in Arizona. And so I thought that was extremely interesting. And so maybe in the future we'll start getting, rock and roll meets lottery, which is again owned by our company's division. And that was something that just recently happened in Phoenix. Because Alice has a very strong, I think he's from Phoenix and has a very strong presence there.
He is. He's
doing Durango commercials now. I just saw him on TV.
Oh, okay. Yep. So there's now an Alice Cooper lottery ticket.
That's cool.
And Alice Cooper does need more money. So
he does.
We're glad
I'm sure he doesn't participate directly from the lottery, but I'm sure he gets something from it. But, who knows?
Yeah.
In Ohio, we might have Utopia lottery tickets.
There you go. That'd probably do quite well. Absolutely. What a great show, Dr. Day.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. When you're Todd Rundgren's drummer, you're a drummer's drummer. It doesn't get any better than that.
No. And I think Willie has the coolest job between working in Las Vegas with the gaming industry and then also playing with Utopia. Man, doesn't get any better than that.
He could adopt us.
I could.
Well, yeah. Yes, you could. Great show. I was going to ask you at the start. Last week we had Larry Wilcox on the show from Gyps. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Are you related?
No, we're not.
Oh, well. So that was a
we
great...
We could be brothers.
Willie, thank you
mother,
so much, man. So great to have you on with us. And you've been listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Willie.
Okay, guys. Have a good summer.
Thank you. We'll be right back. Thanks, everyone. You've been listening to Larry Bassett's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.